Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Blessed Be His Name. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, January the 8th. We're going to be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the year, but in the meantime, we're going to go through a little more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, anytime, any subject, talkback at issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. comment line is just an audio version of that. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382.
Well, folks, we could be in for a rocky ride here. Jeff Schwartz has not proofread today's email. And let the record show 2 consecutive days of listener email. And there can only be one reason for that. Jeff Schwartz has failed to schedule enough guests for this week.
Well, I have read the email, so even if you mess up, I know what they said.
Yeah, but our listeners, well, hopefully, we'll help our listeners. You can translate it. For our listeners.
All right.
This comes from Bill. Listening to your interview concerning Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia with Terry Mattingly had me thinking I had tuned into an Alice in Wonderland-like radio interview. The fact that Senator Manchin continues to be a prominent member of the Democratic Party despite its anti-Christian worldview leadership clearly indicates that party allegiance and not his religious allegiance hold sway. I have little faith in Senator Manchin as he was recently reelected and will not be held in account for 6 years. He has not done the right thing already and abandoned the Democratic Party and what that party stands for, or more accurately, what it stands against, law/accountability/distinctions of right and wrong. Manchin remains a congregant of the Democratic Party and what it stands for. Does he believe in the party platform or does he not? Is he even that much of a Roman Catholic on abortion, considering the abysmal state of most, if not all, Democrat politicians who claim to be Roman Catholic? The truth matters in all realms of life, and we as a nation seem content to play these horse race watching games while our political leaders lead us off the cliff like millions of mass lab lemmings, properly conditioned, controlled, and brainwashed. I see no morally sane Democrat in that leadership to negotiate with. I hope your best construction analysis about Manchin comes true, but only the fear of the living Lord will move the man to buck his party in significant ways. Thanks for listening, Bill.
Well, Bill, I completely agree with you that the Democratic Party's national platform has very little to commend it, and it is openly hostile toward the unborn. That's the issue that matters most to me, and that's the issue that we were discussing with Terry when we were talking about Joe Manchin. Now, Joe Manchin has a 63% pro-life voting record with National Right to Life. We actually checked that out because you never know what you're getting when you have someone say, I'm a pro-life Democrat. We interview Kristen Day. For years now, we've interviewed Kristen Day, who is executive director of Democrats for Life. And she will tell you that locally and at the state level, she can find all kinds of pro-life Democrats who don't buy into the Democratic Party's platform when it comes to abortion. And they have stellar pro-life voting records. Now, as I mentioned, has a 63%. That's a C, okay? But it's not nothing. And our conversation with Terry centered around, is this someone that not only pro-lifers, but a 50-vote Senate on the Republican side can take advantage of and work with? This is a classic example of you take what you can get. And Joe Manchin is, sad to say, all you got when it comes to a pro-life Senate Democrat. He's all you got. The fact that he's Roman Catholic and the fact that he has a 63% pro-life voting record does raise the question, is he not only politically powerful because he's kind of a swing vote in the Senate, but is he also going to be useful in trying to stop the worst of what a Biden administration and a Democratic-controlled House are going to try to do for at least the next 2 years? But if you go down from the national level to the state level, you can find pro-life Democratic governors, you can find pro-life Democratic legislatures and senators all over the place. But there's something about it. We've noticed it for the last 25 years. There's something about moving up. Do you remember
Bill Clinton,
Al Gore, who was the guy from Missouri who was pro-life, and then he got elected to
Richard Gephardt. Yeah.
So once they make it to the big leagues, the pressure on them in order to advance in their respective legislative bodies and to make something of themselves, the money from Planned Parenthood, they got to just walk into your office with suitcases of money, figuratively speaking, or maybe not. Who knows? Sounded a little bit like Trump there for a second. And it just wears them down. And whether they'll probably do Andrew Cuomo. Well, you know, when they talk to their constituency, you know that I'm still pro-life personally, but I can't see making it illegal. That's the way I can't impose that.
I don't know if Andrew's, his dad was like that, Mario. I don't know if Andrew.
Mario Cuomo. Mario Cuomo. They'll take the Cuomo route. And probably that pacifies their pro-life constituencies. So you work with what you got, and Manchin is all we got when it comes to a pro-life or mostly pro-life Democrat.
We were talking earlier this afternoon. Can you imagine if in 4 or 8 years, Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, who's a pro-life Democrat from the South, would run for president of the United States? Just to have him on the stage.
Just get him on the stage with a couple percentage points for those debates. Some people are looking at, she was on the stage for a brief amount of time. Tulsi, who am I talking to?
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah. Some people are looking at her and saying, hey, she's kind of pro-life. She's against the most extreme things that are in the party platform. But is she, do you want her to become a Republican? She's not a Republican by a long shot. But that's pretty sad when all you got is, well, I'm against the most extreme things that are in our platform when it comes to destroying the unborn, but not all of them.
You know, we talked about this, just an interview with Hadley Arkus titled Putting Progressives on the Defensive. Nobody is better at this. This is the guy who wrote the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. Nobody's better at this in putting secular progressives on the defensive than Hadley Arkus. How do we do that when it comes to life? How do we do that when it comes to natural marriage? How do we do that when it comes to transgenderism? How do we do that when it comes to religious liberty? We must book this interview in 2021.
Hadley's entire strategy is you make them affirm what they say they actually affirm, and then you ask questions like, can't we reasonably agree that partial birth abortion should not be legal? I know you want it to be legal because you think that's some sort of absolute slippery slope on Roe v. Wade. But if it weren't, could you agree with me that that act should be illegal? Infanticide. And so he's taking the ball to them and he's making them defend their positions publicly. We don't have anybody that's doing that yet. If we could have gotten Hadley Arkus and Donald Trump together into one room and give him a refresher course on how to do this and say, this is how you deal with it, then what could have been accomplished if the president would have been saying to the abortion forces, can't we all just agree that this partial birth abortion is a hideous act and should be illegal? Come on. The American people think it should be. I think it should be. You probably in the deep heart of your hearts think it should be.
This comes from Dick in Grand Island, Nebraska. He says, Dear Pastor Wilkin, would you please address something that has bothered me for quite some time and intensified since the 2020 election? Many Trump supporters, including some listeners to Issues Etc., appear to have ascribed the attribute of omniscience to the president. They seem to believe that if Trump says something, that it must be true. I wonder if these avid Trump supporters realize how dangerous it is to have a man in the White House who believes that he needs no advisors other than those who are yes men and yes women. Only God needs no advisors because he truly is all-knowing. Donald Trump is not. Thanks for listening in Nebraska. Dick.
Well, I've noticed that in some extreme cases, not with all avid Trump supporters, but in some cases, yes, it does appear that they think he knows more than everyone in the room. Now, that might be true. He might know more than everyone in the room. My concern really is that for some of the president's supporters, loyalty to the president has become the measure of truth. If someone is critical of the president, then they're what? Dumb, stupid, incompetent, un-American. And that they bought into the president's attitude, which is, you are either for me or against me. Folks, there is only one man who deserves that level of loyalty and therefore can demand that absolute loyalty. That's Jesus. Only one man can say, you are either for me or against me, and make it stick. Look, we see this. We talk about this in terms of the church with Chris Roseborough, pastors who get up and say, I've had a vision. You're either for me or against me. Buy into my vision or you're out of the church. If we can see the danger of that in a pastor, then we ought to be able to see the danger of that in a president as well. No one deserves that kind of loyalty except for one man, and he did say it, you are either for me or against me. A chaste and decent life is the theme of the January issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns from Issues Etc. guests Joel Bierman, Matt Harrison, Tom Eckstein, Gene Edward Veith, and Scott Stiegemeyer. Find out more about The Witness and its latest issue at witness.lcms.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Available in print and online, the Lutheran Witness magazine.
Assistance. If this all confuses you, so tell me why.
Why haven't I
heard from you?
Why haven't I?
If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse by verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Because they don't have the sacraments, the means of grace, the baptism for them is a symbol. It's a human work. The Lord's Supper is a memorial meal. It's a human work. God's word is not even efficacious. It's information that we have to act on. That makes the realm of all of God's gracious activity as internal.
Perishable food is transformed into the body which eats it. This food, however, transforms the person who eats it into what it is in itself and makes him like itself, spiritual, alive, and eternal.
It's going to be Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit that will finally heal this racial divide in our lives, in our city, and in the world.
The rest of the world around us does not live with hope. For them, this life is all they've got. And when this life is done, they're done. And so for them, safety is the highest good. I would argue for Christians, it should not be that way.
In 10 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Listeners with the best votes will receive recordings of all 10 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. In the meantime, we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Bradley resides in Montrose, Colorado, and he writes, "We've heard Pastor Wilkin and a few guests speak about internet communion, rightly admonishing those who approved it. So this question occurred to me several days ago when I imagine that many people probably take the holy absolution spoken by the pastor over Zoom and Facebook from home as applying to them presently. Will you or perhaps a guest please clarify whether a person receives absolution when on their couch at home away from the place that Christ has promised to be found and without the pastor having heard their confession of sin? Assumptions about these things could be dangerous and lead to further despising of the holy things in which salvation is received. Thanks for listening in Colorado, Bradley."
We don't want to just kind of in a very quick way say, well, of course, it's the word of God. That absolution is a right and proper absolution, should be received there. But we also shouldn't quickly dismiss it and say nothing of God's word works over the internet, something like that. So we have to ask some careful questions. Communion and absolution are not the same thing. Just like baptism and the Lord's Supper are not the same thing. Do they confer the same gifts, forgiveness, life, and salvation? Do they come from the hand of the same Savior? Yes. But they are not the same thing. They each have their own qualities. The reason communion cannot be practiced online is because communion requires that you distribute and eat the same bread. And a pastor can't distribute something at his house via Zoom and the person receive that bread. You have to distribute and eat the same elements that are given in the sacrament. You're breaking the institution of the sacrament when you try and do that. It would be the same for baptism because it needs to be administered and received. The same water needs to be administered and received because we never want to introduce uncertainty into the giving or the receiving of the sacrament. And it breaks the institution. Absolution is a little different. What I've seen pastors do is when the absolution is pronounced, they do the general absolution. It's kind of the alternate in some cases, an assurance of forgiveness. Now, the reason that the particular absolution, they may be wary to do that is because you don't know if someone's listening to this 10 hours later on a recording. You don't know who's listening. You have no way of knowing these things. Now, could you do private confession and absolution over Zoom? Could you do it face-to-face via the screen where the pastor knows who he's talking to and the person knows what they're receiving and they can do exactly what they do if they were in the sacristy or if they were in the sanctuary? I'd say yes. Is it optimal? No. But it may be the only thing you can do. I'd like to know if some pastors have been doing private confession and absolution over Zoom. That would be a really good question to talk about.
Hi, this is Walter, and I live in Iowa. I was reading about the Great Schism in history, and one of the reasons the Roman and Greek church split was because of the debated use of unleavened or leavened bread in communion. Is leavened bread acceptable, and why or why not? What is our church's teaching on this matter?
That's a very good question. Now, to my knowledge, I don't think that any Lutheran congregations forbid the use of leavened bread. Most of them use some form of unleavened bread. And they do that simply because they want to stick as close to the elements with which Christ instituted these things. It's a little akin to some churches use red wine and some churches use white wine. The use of white wine is simply practical. When you spill white wine, it doesn't stain as bad. When you spill red wine, you've got a problem for your laundry. So there are churches that use white wine, but they're still using wine. They're not using grape juice. And there are churches that may decide, maybe out of necessity, I have administered private communion in a hospital when I got to the hospital room and realized I forgot all of the elements. I had my little cruet of wine in my case. I had no hosts. I had no bread. So I asked the nurse to go down and get some bread from the commissary and bring it up. And it was white bread. And that's how he had his communion that day. Because it says bread. It doesn't specify unleavened bread. Plus, unleavened bread keeps forever in those little plastic sleeves that they put it in. It just practically is indestructible. So there's some practical reasons there, but there's no hard and fast rules against it. What we don't want to do is toy with the elements because, well, we can do it this way, or we can do it that way. Just because there's more than one way to do something doesn't mean there's no wrong way to do it. So we try to stick as closely to the elements as we possibly can.
Walter, I want you to send your application to the pre-seminary program at Concordia University Chicago ASAP. I don't think any of my children would be able to, I've mentioned it to them, talk about the Great Schism of 1080. It's got to be a pastor. He could be the next Will Wheaton, the guy who knows the early church, the medieval church. Do it, Walter. Concordia University, Chicago. Tell Dr. Russell Dawn, the president there, I sent you. Fulbright scholarship.
You might want to double check on that last promise there.
Oh, we'll take care of him. Josh writes, did you mention yesterday a book that we can receive with a donation of $250 or more? No, I did not make up this question. I did not do this to make it for a shameless plug. It's an email we just received today.
This is our brand new book. This is our first book. Lutheran Public Radio has never produced a book before, but we decided this year that we have these guests. Why not? And so we decided to do a simple primer on apologetics called Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity. There's a second volume planned. We can't promise it, but we're planning to do a second volume. It's 10 chapters, and it really came out of the mind of Jeff Schwarz when he was talking about going off to college as a teenager and suddenly being challenged by his professors on all these issues pertaining to his faith, and he had no answers. So we thought, why not do that for everybody? Not just for, say, a college student, someone going off to college. Let's do that for everybody. Common objections to Christianity answered by world-class apologists. And that's the book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity. And for a gift of $250 or more to Issues, etc., you can have this book. People have been raving about this the minute the book came out. I think we sent one to my dad because he's that level of a donor, and my dad called me that very night. It came this morning. He read it all in one day. It's COVID. He's bored. And he called me. He says, this book is fantastic. Now, he raves about a lot of books that we send him, but this one really got his accolade. So this is Marvin Wilkin endorsed level apologetic.
Doesn't get any better than that. Issuesetc.org/donate. You'll find more information on how you can get your own copy of Objections Overruled. Now, this next question from John in Independence, Missouri, it'll only apply to if you ever listen to the show live on the internet. And we get this question every so often, and I seldom remember the answer. So what was the interlude music used just before 4 p.m. Central today? Would appreciate the title, composer, and the name of the very fine brass ensemble performing it.
Hey, Craig, can you play a little bit of that just That's so people know what we're talking about?
Here it comes.
Okay, that was a piece of music. I didn't play it. I produced that piece of music because we needed something for affiliates when we came back independently. We needed something to play that just so that they knew we were there.
Board ops get nervous because your show's supposed to start at 3:03 Central and 4:03. If there's silence, how do I know that they're going to be there at 3:03?
We just in the old days, they used to have an announcer that would come on and say, such and such begins in 15 seconds. And they'd be a little beep. Well, we just said, let's play music to send to affiliates so the board ops don't get nervous and flake out. So that is actually a brass ensemble version of A Mighty Fortress. I've heard it so many times. I could play every note in my sleep because I listen to it every single day between the hours of the show, because we play it for our affiliates. Who did it?
So it's A Mighty Fortress by the West Wind Brass Quintet. Now, listeners, I'm going to forget this. So I'm relying on our listeners to remind me. It's A Mighty Fortress by the West Wind Brass Quintet. So there you go.
Speaking of things that are going to be starting soon, Todd, just another quick reminder, Blues Hockey in 5 days. I've been on the phone with Maria. She says on the 13th, your TV is going to be on Fox Sports Midwest for the hockey game.
I can't imagine that. I cannot imagine a sport that my wife would like watching less than hockey. Baseball is her only love, and me.
Here's an email we just received from Chris in Canada. With all that has happened this past year, I have been blessed and encouraged by the various podcasts on issues, etc. I am now tuning in daily to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Whedon, and in these tumultuous times, digging deeper into the Bible. Thanks to all involved in this outreach, and I pray God's blessings for you this coming year. In light of all that happened yesterday in our country, we pray for peace and that more would turn to the true peace, Jesus Christ. We desperately need this in our country as well. Thanks from Chris in Canada. So it sounds like Canada needs Jesus too.
Yeah, sure they do.
Good old USA.
He was talking about The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, which is a 15-minute daily verse-by-verse Bible study hosted by Pastor Will Whedon, produced by Lutheran Public Radio. Every single weekday, you get another walk through the verses, and he goes through, where is he now? Book of Matthew still? He's still in the Book of Matthew, and you don't have to go all the way to the beginning and start. You can just pick it up, and you'll get the church fathers, you'll get the hymnody, you'll get the history, and you'll get great teaching from Pastor Will Whedon. You can listen to it at thewordendures.org or on the LPR mobile app. When we come back, that's it. It's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Close with love the way that you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word this new year? Does your tight schedule prevent you from sitting down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider. The Word of the Lord endures forever.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.